We're still in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. In verse 6, Paul says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things." This is telling me that a person of faith, having received the instructions in the gospel from his teachers, were under obligation to share with them all good things, meaning material and financial support. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Paul is telling the people that there is a certainty of harvest. The nature of the harvest is determined by the planting. It has been said, a man is free to choose, but is not free to choose the consequences of his choices. It's a sobering fact that even after you have been forgiven, it does not fully alter this law. How often a child of God grieves over the continuing harvest from lost opportunities, from harmful influences, selfish decisions of yesterday. And in verse 8 he says, "Because he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life eternal." The certainty of a harvest does not only apply to the evil, but is equally true of the good. The man who sows to the Spirit, the man who satisfies his desires by living in the Spirit, will also have a harvest. He will reap the glorious harvest of eternal life. In verse 9, Paul says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due seasons we shall reap if we faint not." Paul is saying, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Verse 10, Paul says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith." This tells me that whenever I have the opportunity, I should do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. Paul said in another place that he who would not look after his own family is worse than an infidel. And then verse 12, he says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." Paul wanted them to know that those who were trying to force them to be circumcised wanted to look good to others. They didn't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone could save. Even those who advocate circumcision, Paul says, does not keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, Paul says, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not, Paul tells them. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creature. And then he closes with these words, "May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on," he says, "don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear in my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus." Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This concludes my lessons from the book of Galatians. I have enjoyed teaching these lessons. I truly hope that you have been blessed by them also. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.